Well, good evening, and again, Merry Christmas. In the past, I have just gone and taken the entire Christmas sermon and done a children's sermon with it, and over the past 4 weeks, I have pummeled the congregation with the Advent sermons and sort of beaten them over the head with repent. The end is near. John the Baptist, you brood of vipers, you synagogue of Satan's, examine your conscience and know what you must do. And I thought, you know, I really have to take some time and share some comfort and joy. And it's just not right that I should just give a children's sermon and not share some message with the adults. So I want to do that. And there was something that really, it just fascinated me for a moment, and I wanted to share it, and I drew some thoughts from it. And so I want to point out to you that today is a strange confluence of events that hasn't happened in almost 40 years. It was 38 years ago that Christmas and Hanukkah began on the same night. So our Jewish brothers and sisters today are lighting the menorah for the first time this year tonight. As we celebrate Christmas, they are celebrating Hanukkah for the first time. Now, Christmas and Hanukkah overlap a little more often than that, but this is the first time that they have begun on the same night. So Jews all over the world are celebrating Hanukkah, and we are celebrating Christmas, and that is an interesting thing because they really kind of bear some similarities. And if you're not familiar, the Jews have always had trouble with politics and kings and foreign rulers. And at a certain time, there was a Greek ruler who had decided that he was just done with these Jews and meddling with them and dealing with them. And so he decided that he was going to oppress them and pound them into submission. And he decided that the best way to do this was put an end to their pesky religion. And he decided that what he was going to do was sacrifice a pig to Zeus in the altar of the temple in Jerusalem. So he went into the altar and he sacrificed a pig, you know, the most unclean animal out there, to Zeus in the temple. And for some of these Jews, this was their Yosemite Sam moment. This was their, I've had all I can stands, I can't stands no more. They actually went to war, and this is what's known as the Maccabean Rebellion. And this man who was known as Judas Maccabees, Judas the Hammer, led people in rebellion, and they actually drove out the forces of the Greeks. And they retook Jerusalem, and they went through the process of cleansing the temple. And when they retook the temple, they retook the city, they got the temple, they went through the process of purifying it, sanctifying it, they rededicated the temple, and they realized that they only had enough oil in the temple for one night. Now, if you're not familiar with it, the oil in the temple was supposed to burn day and night continuously. We think of the temple as like, you know, a church. You know, you go in there, you light the candles during the service. If you've ever been to like a Roman Catholic church or some Episcopal churches, they've got the little candle stand in the back. You go in, you say your prayers, you light your candle, you leave. We think of it like that. That's not really the same kind of thing. This was a big, dark building where they had these massive candle stands filled with oil that burned continuously. And they only had enough oil for one day. And they knew that they weren't getting any reinforcements. And they prayed. And God, through a miracle, kept the oil going, kept the candles burning for 8 days. And that is the miracle that they celebrate now when they celebrate Hanukkah. Now, how does this relate to Christmas? How does this relate to anything that we're going through now? Well, you know, my kids, like everybody else's kids, they want to watch the Disney Channel. And, you know, Disney Channel, they are playing a little Hanukkah song. They're playing a little Yule song. In fact, they're playing every holiday song that you can think of except for anything related to Christmas. But never mind that. And they sang a song about how this is the solstice. Yesterday was the solstice. It's the longest night of the year. Well, it is. It's the longest night of the year. It's as dark a night as it possibly gets. It's darker, earlier, lasts longer. And that's the way it seems spiritually now, isn't it? Isn't it? I don't know if you watch the news. I don't know, a lot of people have stopped watching the news. I'm sure that there are people out here tonight who just didn't go to church tonight because they were worried about a terrorist attack. I mean, there are people who went out to do their Christmas shopping this week and they got plowed down by some maniac in a truck. And this is happening all around the world. There are people who are thinking, you know, we can't go anywhere without getting mowed down or gunned down, or this is just a horrible time. And if you spend any time on social media, this is a terrible time to be involved with politics, whether you were on the winning side or the losing side. It's just a terrible time. Things are dark. Everybody feels dark. It seems like it's just a rotten time. And it's just the way it feels. But that's just the way it feels. And the way it feels doesn't have a whole lot of bearing on the way it is. Because the way it is that Christ has come. The way it feels is that the oil's going to run out. The way it is that God has the light. The way it feels is that it's the darkest night of the year. The way it is that that's the night that God chooses to send his son into the world. That's the night that some shepherds who are sitting on a hill, who are about the lowliest people out there, who never get a chance to bathe, who are out there dealing with sheep, who, if you've ever been to a petting farm, are about the grossest animals out there. And they're spending their time out there with the sheep. Oh, man, why do they put these things in petting farms? Every time you touch one, you just want, like, to go wash your hands. And this is their occupation. And to these people, an angel appears and says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The Messiah has been born in this city. But if you read it carefully, it doesn't just say an angel appeared. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Not just an angel. We have like the five beautiful girls dancing here. We have the beautiful star. It wasn't that. The heavens opened up and you saw the host of heaven, the armies of God. And instead of being arrayed for battle, they were arrayed as a choir praising God. And these simple little shepherds saw the angelic choirs. These simple, simple people in the dark of night, when it seemed like it couldn't be a longer, darker night, saw the glory of God, saw the heavens opened, and then they marched their little selves down into... They marched their little flocks down to Jerusalem, down to Bethlehem, and they found these people in a manger. Not in a throne room, not in a palace, not even a house. And they found them there. And then they went and told everybody. Wouldn't you? You saw heavens opened up? This wasn't a message that they'd been waiting for a couple years, for a couple decades, for a couple centuries. We talked about how Isaiah prophesied that the virgin would conceive and bear a child 700 years before, but this goes way back. This goes to creation. This goes to Adam and Eve. When Eve ate the fruit and she fell victim to the curse, and God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed, and said to Eve, your seed will crush the head of the serpent. You will bruise his heel. The heel of man, the Son of Man, Jesus, was crushed, the head of the serpent was crushed on the cross. And that is Satan. That was the very first prophecy that was made in the very fall of man. This is not something that's been 100 years, 1,000 years. This was from the fall of man. This was creation, the dawn of time. It seems dark. It seems desolate. It seems like something that we should be despairing about. If you read the news, if you watch television, if you look at Facebook, if you go anywhere and people say, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. We know the truth. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not understand it. The angel says, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. So yes, the darkness seems great, but in that darkness the light shines. And the darkness does not understand it, because that light is not comprehensible. Because the light is so much greater. We have that light. That light became man. The glory of God became man, that we might be able to receive the glory of God. The incarnation is the reason that we can celebrate. It's the reason that we can rejoice in anything. And that is why we gather together tonight and celebrate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.